the sequel going?
Sequel sucks.
Bullshit generalization. Many sequels have surpassed their original.
Oh, yeah?
Name one.
I'll be back.
Why won't you die?
Prime, you can't die.
The reboot, damn it.
Reboot complete.
Thank you very much.
Movies. Never say die.
Welcome to Movies Never Say Die, a podcast with a singular focus, movies that are reboots, reimaginings, or sequels to other films. I'm Matthew Grant.
And I'm Justin St. Ange. This is episode number 10. We hit double digits, Matt.
Woohoo!
And on this episode of Movies Never Say Die, we're gonna take a look at a recap of all the exciting news and trailers that came out of San Diego Comic-Con. But first, here's a look at some official announcements, rumors, and hearsay for upcoming reboots in our opening segment, In the Pipeline.
We bring you this special radio television broadcast in order to give you the very latest information on an amazing phenomenon.
Pipeline.
And up first in the pipeline is a first look at the Charlie's Angels reboot. They dropped a trailer since last time we recorded the show. What do you think, Matt? You saw this, right?
I did. I have to say, it looks like a ton of fun. It looks very exciting. I think that the actresses they got to play the angels seem to fit their roles really well. It seems like they mixed it up a tiny bit because there's like a new angel that they're breaking in and training a little bit, which is pretty exciting. And I think that in addition to being in the film, it's directed by Elizabeth Banks. And so it's going to be interesting to have a female helmed Charlie's Angels movie. But I mean, just in general, it seems to kind of retain the spirit and vibe of the last one that featured, you know, Drew Barrymore and Lucy Liu and everybody back then. So yeah, I mean, the trailer looks like a ton of fun. It looks modern, it looks exciting, it looks, you know, some humor in there. There's some winks to the old one where you've got the angel sitting in front of the speaker and you've got Charlie talking to him and stuff. Patrick Stewart shows up as Bosley, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But I guess Elizabeth Banks is also Bosley. I'm not sure how that works, but Demon Hunsu is also Bosley. I'm very confused.
Oh yeah, I'm not sure exactly.
But I mean, yeah, it seems like it's gonna be a lot of fun. I think, you know, I mean, I typically don't like Kristen Stewart. She seems kind of dry and boring most of the stuff she's in, but she seemed like she was a lot of fun in this trailer. She seems looser and seems to fit the role really well. And so I think, you know, that's kind of how I'm looking at it right now. It's very similar to what came out a few years. Well, I guess it's been quite a while now, but I don't know. What'd you think about our first look at this one?
Yeah, I was pretty, I wouldn't say excited. I was certainly interested to see what Elizabeth Banks was going to do with this. Like you said, starring and directing. I assume also producing, actually, but yeah, it does look fun. The previous ones obviously very much leaned into the, you know, the 80s campy-ish vibe, and it seems like they're touching on that maybe on this one. Not so hard, but still, you know, you got all the action, you got the angels, the fun, and like you said, I was a little bit surprised that I guess maybe we'll get the third angel halfway through the movie or whenever. Like, this, we have two angels, it seems, and this other character that's, you know, they're helping maybe turns into the third angel at some point.
Yeah, because I think in the original, well, I mean, the most recent reboot, which actually isn't necessarily recent, I was looking at it's 2000, and 2003 was the sequel Full Throttle. I think they were already a fully formed unit, maybe, or they,
so,
you know, or they brought all three of them together. I can't remember exactly how the 2000 movie began, whether they were already an established group or if any of them, you know, if they had to like do like an origin story or some kind of thing. I can't exactly remember, but it certainly wasn't the case that I remember that there was two and they brought in a third one. So it's definitely something different to try, and which I kind of, you know, I always like when they at least mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, when you do all these reboots, you gotta have
something.
Give us something different, not just a slight update.
Unless it's Gus Van Sant and he's remaking Psycho shot for shot with the exact same script. Other than that,
that's it.
All right, up next in the pipeline, Jumanji, The Next Level. I guess a sequel to the remake of the Robin Williams film of the same name. Do they actually? Do you have, I know neither of us have actually seen the most recent Jumanji with The Rock and all of them. But is it supposed to be in the same world as Robin Williams' film, or is it an entirely different thing? I think it's different because it's like a.
I do not know actually.
It's a video game versus a board game. I know.
So I mean, technically, it could be. You never know. Maybe there was some Easter egg in there or something. Like yeah, but I have not seen for sure that it's in the same universe. It should be.
We've not done our due diligence.
No, there's so many movies. Man, can't watch them all.
That's true.
Unless it was actually our job.
I guess they did mention the character's name. It says at some point it pays tribute to Robin Williams by mentioning his character's name, but as to how connected it is, I'm not exactly sure. But regardless of that, there's it seems to follow the same line of thought where four nerdy kids are drawn into this video game. They're each given avatars that are hilariously opposite of who they are. You know, the super nerdy kid ends up being The Rock.
The ditzy popular girl ends up being Jack Black or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think so.
And the shy, like, you know, nerdy quote unquote girl ends up being like the one that's in like the skimpy outfit and stuff like this. I think that's how it was.
Oh, Karen Gillan, yeah. Yeah, but see, I mean, it seems very similar, you know, in feel. I mean, just going by having seen the trailers for the one that came out a few years ago and then having seen the trailers for this, Jumanji the Next Level, it seems like a very similar situation, except it looks like they're searching for a friend of theirs that have gotten lost in the game somewhere, and so it's at least a little bit different. I mean, the description online is kind of vague, and you know, it says a team of friends return to Jumanji to rescue one of their own but discover that nothing is as they expect, and so it's
nothing ever is.
It's obvious they're on nothing ever is. So yeah, it seems like it moves along with the same situation. They get sucked into this video game. They work together to finish the game. Crazy stuff happens to the animals and stuff. Again, much like Charlie's Angels, we don't necessarily find out a ton about it, but there's a lot of really humorous moments, a lot of exciting moments. The CGI seems to look really good. And so, you know, I mean, at some point we're going to have to watch it at the very least just to talk about it for this podcast, because if it was successful enough to make a sequel to this one, then you know, it's probably worth checking out at some point.
Yeah, I want to, since, you know, neither of us saw the first one, and I totally don't remember. So in the new trailer for The Next Level, there's Danny Glover and Danny DeVito, right? Were they in the original as relatives?
I don't think so, but they were very, very funny, because I think they... They end up being Kevin Hart and Dwayne Johnson or something. Yeah, there's some kind of weird swap, and they were doing like impressions of Danny Glover and Danny DeVito, which was absolutely hilarious.
I think that was the best part of the trailer for me. And I'm you know, trying to recall maybe. So there's what, four kids and they go into the game or something like that?
Yeah, because there's the four characters. Yeah. You got Rock, Gillan, Jack Black, and Kevin Hart.
But I think there was someone missing in this trailer, like, I'm sure we'll find out, but like, you know, when they cut the one that gets lost in the game again, and then the three friends come over, it seems like there's a missing avatar, I guess, if you will, at some point.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the cast list for the original remake back in 2017, Glover and DeVito are not in that one, but looks like Nick Jonas is in both of them, so he might be the missing character.
Okay.
Because I think I also saw him in the trailer for the new one, so...
Yeah, we did notice that because I didn't realize he was in the first one.
Yeah, I mean, very similar situation, it looks like, as the first one, but mixing up a little bit, having one of their own lost out in Jumanji somewhere. But like I said, I mean, the CGI looks pretty fantastic. The acting was hilarious, and... Yeah, I'm certainly willing to check it out, but it's I feel like we have to go back. I feel like this is a situation where like I'd even want to go back and watch the Robin Williams one again just to see how similar the vibe was and stuff like that.
Does it hold up since I haven't seen that since it came out? Have fond memories.
That's a good point.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it's always funny when you view some of these movies through the lens of, you know, obviously being older and then the changes in technology and stuff. I mean, this was back in 1995, the original Jumanji with Robin Williams. And so especially some of the CGI, it'd be interesting to see how well it's aged. I mean, you got like lions and stuff running through streets and everything. So, yeah, definitely want to give it another look.
And in some awesome news, throwing back to our first ever episode, the beginnings of this podcast, where we started with the remake of Halloween, we got some news that they will finish this trilogy. The same, you know, producers and stars will be coming to finish the their Halloween story with Halloween Kills and Ends.
I'm kind of excited about this because I didn't realize this was going to be a trilogy until this little teaser trailer came out. Did you have any idea?
No.
I mean, there was rumblings that they were talking about doing a second one, but I had no idea that we were going to get news about not only a sequel to the remake, but also the fact that it was a trilogy that they were going to announce back to back. I mean, did you have any inkling there was going to be a third one?
No, definitely not. Like you said, obviously hearing about a sequel. I mean, this one, this reboot did so well. I mean, it was at like the highest opening weekend for, it was something specific, like maybe an over 40-year-old female lead or something like that. But I think it also hit some other marks in there as well. And so the sequel was...
Yeah, I think I remember talking about that.
Was definitely on the way. But yeah, dropping that they're going to film the second and third part of a trilogy back-to-back. Very cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's been speculated since that first one ended where you had that little Easter egg at the end of Michael Myers breathing after the supposed ending. I mean, I thought that it was a really well-done, self-contained film. I didn't necessarily feel the need for this to continue at all. I loved the way that it began and ended. I mean, if any of you folks are out there interested in hearing how the podcast began, hearing our thoughts on the new Halloween, you can kind of see how we've evolved since then, hopefully, and you can go back in the archives and check out episode one. But I mean, at the time, from what I recall, both of us seemed pretty into the sequel and thought they did a really good job with it and was really what that franchise needed. And I felt like it was a great self-contained movie. But of course, like you said, with the success that it had, with the records that it broke, it seemed almost inevitable they were going to just go ahead and at least do one sequel, if not more. And then the fact that it was really just a single slow motion shot of like fire and Michael Myers, and then they just announce the titles and the years they're coming out, and that's it. It's like the ultimate teaser and slash announcement. I thought it was great. It was the perfect way to do it. I was, you know, no new footage, just the titles and the dates, and I'm already ready to get in line, and I'm sold 100%.
Yeah, totally. I feel the same way. And I was reading that Danny McBride, that originally they actually had conceived of this as a trilogy when they started making that first one, but then eventually...
Oh, no kidding. I didn't know.
Yeah.
That.
But then eventually they settled in on, well, let's see if we can do one good first before really planning out a trilogy. And so now that they, it is confirmed that they can do this good, as he said, and they can finish out maybe what they had in mind for a trilogy.
Yeah, and even Danny McBride, I did read an interview with him saying that they fully plan to wrap this up and end it on their own, but that they accept the fact that there's probably going to be other reboots, other sequels, someone's going to take the ball and run with it, just because the character is so iconic and you could do so much with him that somebody's going to take it and move on to do something else. So, but at least for them, they're getting to tell their story and wrap it up in the way they want to, and I'm always excited when somebody is able to fully realize a vision like that. And since they did a great job with the first one, I'm more than willing to follow them through the end of this trilogy for sure. And rounding out the pipeline is a semi-unexpected sequel to a 10-year-old film looking at Zombieland Double Tap, a sequel that's been kind of languishing in development hell for many years. I guess they confirmed it last year. We started seeing some posters. I think you and I announced it in the middle of a pipeline somewhere that they were at least making it and who was going to be in it. We finally got our first taste of the trailer and what we're looking at. And I think, you know, you said it pretty succinctly when you watched it that it was, you know, I mean, what did you think?
Well, yeah, totally. I just, it looks really fun. I mean, you know, we go back to saying things are fun all the time, but it truly is. And I mentioned to you just before we started recording that I saw that Netflix had the first one on the other night, and I watched it again because, like I said before, I think I'd only seen it the one time when it came out 10 years ago. I didn't realize it was 10 years ago, But when you see the difference between Abigail Breslin and that one, and then the trailer for the new one.
Yeah, that's the most obvious place you see it, is she's, you know, obviously gone from a little kid to being just a legit adult person. It's a big difference.
Yeah. So it seems like they kept very much the same feel in this trailer than what they did in the first movie. Just their own kind of take on the zombie, you know, genre. Not quite, you know, scary like 28 Days Later, but still fast zombies but super fun.
Yeah, I think it's the same creative team that did both of them, and so it makes sense that the vibe kind of continues to create. And it feels effortless. Like, it feels 100% like it hasn't been 10 years, and they're just moving right into doing this continuation of the story without really skipping a beat. It doesn't feel clunky, it doesn't feel awkward. Like, it really just feels like a very natural, very easy transition to this second one. I've got the entire original cast back: Woody Harrelson, Jesse Eisenberg, Emma Stone, Abigail Breslin. On Wikipedia, it says that Bill Murray is reprising his role, which is
odd.
Considering how his role ended in the first movie. Spoiler: they killed Bill Murray. But I'm interested to see how they do that. Got some new additions: Rosario Dawson, which I will watch in anything. Luke Wilson, Thomas Middleditch. You've got that great the scene that you talked about in the trailer when you suddenly end up with these doppelgangers of both Woody Harrelson and Jesse Eisenberg that are spot-on doppelgangers. And then both you and I were like, where's the Emma Stone doppelganger? What is going to happen next?
Yeah, because they have that they have that other girl that sort of Eisenberg's character finds, you know, runs into. I think there's
But
I don't think she can't be the doppelganger part of that crew for Emma Stone's character, I don't think. So maybe we'll find someone else. But I'm very interested to see what has happened in their world. I assume it's going to be kind of also 10 years later for them, traveling around, you know, Zombieland as their new crew, and what what they've run into. I'm sure there'll be lots of nice flashbacks.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they filled in some of the gaps between what happened between the end of the last movie and then the beginning of this one, because then it kind of gives you an idea of how their world has evolved. If it is 10 years later, I mean, how have they lived for this long, and what is the world doing as it moves on through this zombie plague and all that sort of thing?
It'll be cool to see how many new rules Ohio Columbus's character has come up with, because I think, like I said, I watched it again the other day. I think Double Tap is rule number 2 or 3.
Yep, I think that was one of the top rules, yeah.
But, I'm definitely interested in it. The rewatch was good. Enjoyed it quite a bit, so looking forward to number 2.
30-plus years of service. Combat medals, citations. Only man to shoot down 3 enemy planes in the last 40 years. Yet you can't get a promotion, you won't retire. Despite your best efforts, you refuse to die.
The end is inevitable, Maverick. Your kind is headed for extinction.
Maybe so, sir. But not today.
Alright, that brings us to our main event today, San Diego Comic-Con 2019, all of the top sequels, remakes, reboots, a lot of interesting news coming out of San Diego Comic-Con 2019. There's actually a lot of TV stuff, and you and I don't necessarily look at the world of TV, but there's still a lot of interesting TV stuff that they mentioned. You've got the trailer for Picard, you've got a couple of really cool things coming out, a lot of Marvel TV shows coming out that are offshoots from the Avengers. Not necessarily going to take a look at those things, but it was a pretty big year for movies and television when it comes to sequels and reboots and remakes. The biggest news, probably, I would think, of course, is not only did they dropped the trailer for the long-awaited sequel to Top Gun, Top Gun Maverick, but Tom Cruise just popped into Comic-Con to introduce it.
Yeah.
Which I don't think anybody was expecting necessarily. Yeah, your thoughts on Top Gun Maverick?
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, I mean, obviously over the years, I think Comic-Con has been 30 something, I don't know, it's been a long time, and obviously things have changed, because you wouldn't think that something like Top Gun would release anything at Comic-Con, right? Like, we get all the Marvel stuff, and even though these are movies and not comics, you know, they obviously started from comics and, you know, stuff like that. So, but yeah, it's just such a big event that you have to, if you want to debut something, Comic-Con is not a bad place to do it. And it was, like you said, unexpected. And I watched it, and it was just like back to the, you know, me at whatever, when did that come out? I was like 8-9 years old watching Tom Cruise and flying around F-14s, and like, it looks really, really cool.
Well, I think you and I had the same reaction that a lot of people online had, that I mean, I saw Top Gun so long ago, I don't remember the last time I actually rewatched it, and I didn't really care about a sequel. I mean, they were talking about it, everyone's like, oh, I can't wait. I didn't care about a sequel, but I was like, as soon as the trailer was done, I rewatched it, and I was like, I am 100% on board for a Top Gun sequel, even though I did not care about it at all before the sequel dropped at Comic-Con. And it was just, I mean, just the way they did it, he came out, you know, he thanked everyone for their patience. He's like, we've been working on this for 30 years or whatever. And it looks really good. Like the flight stuff, you know, Tom Cruise, notoriously obsessive about realism and trying to do as much practically as he can and learning to be a pilot instead of having a stunt guy do stuff. And I mean, just the shots they use inside the planes, it was a nice balance of new characters and classic characters. Did Val Kilmer show up in that trailer at all? I did not see him. Did I miss him, or is he just not?
No, he was not in the trailer, but he is confirmed to be, you know, reprising his role as Iceman in this movie. So it'll be interesting to see how he's incorporated into it. Cause I think I told you, right. I saw him when he came to DC for Awesome Con a few months ago. And, you know, he's had a tough couple few years with battling, like, I believe it's throat cancer and stuff like that. So you know, Tom Cruise famously always in shape and ready to go. Val Kilmer's had a little bit of a hard time lately, so he doesn't look like the Iceman that we will remember. So I don't know, maybe he'll be a hard on his times Iceman. We'll find out, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, this was the first trailer that we've seen from, and so maybe they'll release another one a little closer when it comes out, and we'll get an idea of how they're going to utilize him. I mean, it's great that they were able to work around his illness and get him in the movie, but I mean, it seems to retain the spirit of the original while kind of up in the ante for 2019, and the action seems to be there. Tom Cruise effortlessly slips right back into the role again. I mean, just his attitude, his character work, he just slips right in again. And it's just, it was, again, I instantly went from being completely indifferent about this movie to suddenly putting it on my list for something I absolutely had to see this year.
Yeah, like you said, Tom Cruise puts whatever you want to say, and I actually think he's actually a very good actor, but he's kind of settled into this serious action, but taking it seriously as well, place in his career. And he, you know, he does all his stunts pretty much, you know, he is actually a licensed pilot. I don't think they let him fly those military planes, but he's obviously in the planes. I think I saw an interview he gave where, you know, he wanted to cast, you know, obviously good actors, but he also tried to cast actors and put them through like G-force training so that they could also actually be in planes when they do the shooting. And it's just like, the level of detail is crazy. Plus you get all sorts of like little callbacks to the you know, him on his motorcycle with the planes in the background. And there's a very short clip of a, I assume a, an, a pilot like spinning a football, and it looks like it's on the beach. And there's obviously a very, very famous scene from the original where they're playing volleyball on the beach. So I think we're getting football on the beach in this one. And another thing I'd like to see them touch on, I mean, obviously he dealt with Goose's death in the first movie, but it would be nice to see some sort of throwback to Anthony Edwards. And even, well, okay, well, they'll obviously deal with that because Miles Teller's character is Goose's son. So that's part of the story.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So,
oh, gotcha.
Obviously they'll deal with that, but you know what? I haven't heard anything about Meg Ryan, if she's in this. She's the wife. She's Goose's wife from the original.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know.
But, yeah. We'll find out.
I don't think I realized that. I don't think I realized she was in the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's nothing on IMDb about her being in the cast, and so if she is, it's going to be a surprise.
Surprise.
To the losers.
We made an oath.
Swear? If it isn't dead, if it ever comes back, we'll come back to you.
We didn't stop it.
Pennywise.
The clown.
Another thing we got at San Diego Comic-Con 2019 was the trailer for the second chapter in the It franchise, which unfortunately I still have not seen the first one, but like you told me when I told you about watching this trailer, this made me very 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 excited to see the first one. And you said that's pretty good for a trailer to make you want to see the first one and not actually the movie they're making the trailer for.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Just looks like super creepy and like a continuation exactly of the first one, but I still can't get over the cast. It really looks amazing and they look like they're doing a really good job, so it'll be fun for me to see. Maybe I'll do a back-to-back watch, the first one and then this one.
Well, then if you want to take a look at it for our podcast, you got to go back and go old school to the ABC miniseries. Which is interesting because I started watching the miniseries because I thought we might take a look at the first remade film, you know, It Chapter One or whatever they were calling it, just It. And so I was watching it, and it's very, I like the way they redid it to kind of split up the kids versus adults timeline and story. Yeah, and I think the original ABC miniseries did a really good job of incorporating the both of them and kind of blending them the way the book did. But the way that they chose to do it this way, I thought was really smart. And you could really make two legitimately different movies with different casts, different plots, but still tie them both completely together because it is a story that takes place over the course of two long chunks of time. You know, it's been around. You know, it as a character, as a monster, has been around. He shows up every 30 years and eats a bunch of kids or whatever. Oh, whatever. That's just what people do. Or whatever. Just monsters eating kids. Typical summer. And so the way they chose to do this is great. The way that they've rolled out the promotional stuff for this has been fantastic. We got a couple new posters, which are super creepy. We got a very brief teaser, which was essentially just a scene from It Chapter 2 a few months back that you and I talked about. Right. But like seeing this full trailer is just, I mean, it's relentless. Like just the way they use sound in the trailer, the way they use visuals, the way they have callbacks to specific moments in the book that Stephen King fans will really connect with. I thought, you know, I reiterate what I said about you. Like, you know, this trailer convinced you to see two movies. And with me, like, I am so excited. It comes out in September, and so I'm hoping that we get a chance to watch it, maybe incorporate it into some Halloween-based episodes this year. But just even as a fan of Stephen King, as a fan of horror movies in general, it looks so, so good. And I agree with you also. The cast is just stellar, who they ended up getting in this. I mean, this is, I guess Bill Hader has done a couple semi-dramatic things. Like, he did Skeleton Twins, which I haven't watched. Right. But to see him in a horror movie like this, he is well cast as his character, you know, based on the kid they had in the first one. But to see him do something not only dramatic but horror based, I'm really interested to see him stretch his legs a little bit.
Well, Bill Hader is which is it? Is it an Emmy or is it Golden Globe for, winner for best actor for Barry on HBO?
Oh, that's did he win for Barry?
Yeah, he did, and he got nominated again. I think it was an Emmy.
I forgot all about that, actually. I completely forgot about
him. He may be the most decorated actor in the in the cast.
I forget. I cannot believe I completely forgot about him doing that series.
Yeah, I still haven't watched it, but it's, yeah, that was the first season, and he got, like I said, I can't remember if it was an Emmy or Golden Globe for it, but I know he was just nominated again for an Emmy, so when those came out, you know, a week or so ago.
Now, I'm looking at it now. You're right, it was an Emmy. He was awarded for Outstanding Lead Actor in a Comedy. So that's amazing. And that's a pretty, I mean, it's a funny show, but I've heard it's pretty dark, and so he kind of stretches a little bit in that too, which is nice.
They always have to do that for the Golden Globes and the Emmys. Like, there's so many people to you know, recognize that if your show has like one joke in it, they have to throw it in the comedy section.
All right, you motherfuckers. I know you're in there. Come out right now.
Identify yourselves, motherfuckers.
I'm Jay, and this is my Headroom Life mate, Silent Bob.
Don't tell me you guys have no idea there's a new comic book movie being made of the old comic book movie you two are the basis for.
That old-ass star-studded piece of shit, that movie sucked balls.
Sucked asshole, too.
We got 3 days to get to Hollywood and stop this reboot from ever happening.
What do you guys think about this reboot?
It sucks. There, I said it. And who's directing this shit anyway? Kevin fucking Smith?
So moving over to comedies from horror, we got a first look at the trailer for the Jay and Silent Bob reboot. It was, in fact, a Red Band trailer, because I cannot imagine you making any other kind of trailer for a Jay and Silent Bob movie. Another situation, honestly, like Top Gun Maverick, I used to love Kevin Smith's movies. I watched Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, all the way up until like Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. I mean, Dogma. I loved his movies so much. I haven't seen any of the recent stuff. I haven't seen the one he did with Bruce Willis. I haven't seen Yoga Hosers. Nope. Ever since he became a pothead, basically, I have not seen any of his recent movies. They just didn't look... I mean, like, I saw what he was trying to do, and he's being kind of strange and avant-garde and out there. There was that movie... What was it? Was it Tusk? The movie Tusk was also kind of weird. And just none of them hooked me. None of them sounded interesting. And I thought it was incredibly lazy and incredibly unnecessary for him to dip back into the safe well of Jay and Silent Bob again for this reboot. But much like Top Gun Maverick, I watched this trailer and like sold, absolutely sold. Just looks fucking hilarious and that is ridiculous. And I'm so happy. I mean, there's cameos galore there. I mean, I'm almost kind of sad that they ruined a lot of the cameos.
It seems like all of them, right? I mean, we literally saw everyone who was in one of those, like you mentioned, those core Kevin Smith movies that I also have watched and loved before he went off. I think he did one called Red State or something like that, which was horror-ish.
Oh, I forgot about Red
and
State,
I did see that, and that was fine. But, you know, when you think of Kevin Smith, you don't think of anything other than his, you know, his take on this style of comedy that we fell in love with first. And yeah, they're, like you said, it couldn't have been anything other than a Red Band trailer. It was totally over the top. Just the idea of this, I guess it's a sequel, but they're calling it reboot because it's about the Jay and Silent Bob reboot, which they're trying to stop.
Very meta. It's tremendously meta. It's so confusing.
Absolutely. And yeah, all those cameos. I mean, did they miss anyone? It's bonkers and amazing at the same time.
And they seem to be kind of doing the same sort of thing that a lot of reboots and sequels do, where they're apparently incorporating Jay having a daughter, I think, which was kind of fun to watch. And again, connecting to Maverick a little bit, it looks like Val Kilmer is in here, and he's playing.
Right.
I'm not sure if it's Blunt Man or Chronic, but it's Blunt Man. So he's playing Blunt Man in the reboot.
In the reboot, in the movie.
In the movie, that is a reboot. Oh, it's so confusing. It's so. I mean, like even just look at, because like, you know, every now and, you know, I'll go through like the web and kind of look up articles just to kind of support what you and I are talking about and make sure we sort of have an idea of what we're talking about when we talk about this shit. And like, sometimes I'll just look through it, like just looking through the article, I just see like stills from the trailer, and it's just so funny. And it looks like, it looks really good. It really does look like he is kind of dipping back into the same kind of spirit as the earlier films in the Viewisk universe. And I don't fault the guy for branching out and trying to do different stuff. I don't fault him for making Red State or Tusk or anything like that. I get the idea that you can only work in that universe for a certain amount of time. But, I mean, he always kind of dipped back in and out anyways. I mean, you had Clerks 2, yeah. which was a great movie. I enjoyed it, but I respect the guy and understand that he's going to want to branch out. He has different ideas, different stories he wants to tell. But when I first read about this, like, man, this is just so lazy and ridiculous. And then you watch it and it's got the same vibe, but it seems like they're doing different stuff, but the same sort of humor, which is, I mean, I'm very excited to see him do it again because I miss that Kevin Smith a lot. And, you know, obviously he had that health scare a couple of years back, and so it's cool that he's working on his health and he seems to be in a really good place, and I'm excited to see him make this sort of movie having kind of turned his life around into a better place. I mean, it sucks that it took a health scare to change a lot of his behaviors and taking care of himself and stuff, but I'm very excited to see him back doing something like this. And even if doing this kind of fuels his creative process to branch out again, you know, maybe further down the line he'll have different movies that, you know, maybe connect with me personally a little more than something like Tusk or Yoga Hosers did necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, you can only speculate that maybe his health scare kind of, I don't remember exactly when that happened versus the production for this, for Jay and Silent Bob reboot, but it's entirely possible that that kind of pushed him to, you know, reevaluate or kind of do some things that he didn't get a chance to do, like, you know, like you said, dip back into the Viewisk universe and, you know, something that I always thought he would go back and forth from, right? Like, go do something different and then come back and touch on, or even do something new, but also in the Viewisk universe in that vein. So it'll be good. There was, I feel like there was also a point there, even before the health scare, like many, many years ago, that he was kind of toying with the idea of being done directing movies in Hollywood. But obviously that never came about. So, yeah, very happy.
Yeah, I think you're right. He said that after Red State, he announced he was going to retire from directing, and he said that he was going to make a Clerks 3, and that was going to be his last movie. But then, like a year after that, he was like, you know, I'm still going to keep making movies, but stuff that was more uniquely Kevin Smith as opposed to like generic stuff that anybody can make necessarily. And so I think that's when he kind of went a little weird with stuff like Tusk and stuff like that. And so and I think there was apparently another script that he'd written for a movie called Moose Jaws, which was supposed to be the third and final film in this trilogy of movies that started with Tusk and moved on to Yoga Hosers. But I guess the reception for those put the kibosh on that.
I didn't realize that those were connected movies, so
I had no idea either, and I was taking a look through,
I think,
the interwebs.
Yeah. And I think his daughter is in a lot of these movies now. And I think she's actually in some other movies as well, which is cool. She's kind of getting into her own thing.
Yeah, I think she might be the one playing Jay's daughter in this new movie as well. But I think that she does have a career in her own right as well. So I think what is she? It's Harley Quinn, right?
Yeah.
Didn't he name her after Harley Quinn? It's pretty cool.
And some more news from Comic-Con. We got some... I don't think they actually had like a new trailer or anything for Terminator Dark Fate. They had some maybe featurettes that they showed, like behind the scenes making of a couple of the scenes that were kind of cool to see. But for you and me, I think the biggest news was James Cameron confirmed that 80 Furlong will be returning to reprise his role from Terminator 2 as, well, not as young John Connor, but as John Connor.
Yeah. How do you feel about that, Justin?
I mean, on the surface, it sounds awesome, but I literally have not seen Eddie Furlong, like, not even just working, but, like, photos, whatever. I have no idea what he's been up to for a long, long time, since maybe even American History X.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be, I mean, I'm totally down with him reprising the role because, you know, he is John Connor for many of us, even though they've cast so many people in the movies that they're ignoring to do Dark Fate, but he'll always be John Connor.
Definitely, you know, I feel like they wouldn't just cast him if he was going to do a really awful job. And so I feel like they know something we don't. And so I'm kind of putting my faith in James Cameron and in Tim Miller to do right by the movie. And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the biggest things that's, you know, got me excited for this is that, you know, Cameron's returning to be a producer and, you know, have any say. Like, I don't think he's been involved in 3, Salvation, Genesis, like, at all. So, and I watched those. I didn't go to the theater for all those, but I watched those because, you know, this is a franchise that I, you know, love the first 2 movies of and will probably always, kind of like Aliens, will always, they'll draw me back in no matter how many times.
Oh, yeah, same here.
So having Cameron back again is a big check mark in the plus pros column.
Well, it seems like he is going along with the Halloween method of doing things where he considers this a direct sequel to Terminator and Terminator 2 Judgment Day with, you know, 3, Salvation, Genesis being kind of in an alternate timeline. And so he's kind of retconning his way out of those other films. And so, you know, yeah, I mean, I still feel the same way I did, even with the news of Eddie Furlong being involved. I still feel the same way it was when I saw the trailers. Like, it feels like a Terminator movie, and it looks exciting to see Linda Hamilton back, Arnold Schwarzenegger back, and, you know, count me in for Terminator Dark Fate when it comes out in at the end of this year.
Welcome to the stage, President of Marvel Studios, Kevin Feige!
Phase 4 of the MCU, The Eternals, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Ladies and gentlemen, Taika Waititi!
For those of you who know that storyline, it's incredible. It's full of emotion and love and thunder. And it introduces, for the first time, female Thor.
And of course, the Black Widow herself, Scarlett Johansson.
And last but not least, as Justin and I keep referring to it, the meat of the San Diego Comic-Con segment here, the Marvel Phase 4 announcement, massive announcement. Huge number of films and TV series. I don't think anybody was necessarily expecting not only to hear this much information from them, but the type of information, the type of projects going to be working on. It seems like Phase 4 is going to get a little stranger, a little, they're kind of leaving their comfort zone a little bit. This is really the first chunk of movies where we're got no Cap, you got no Iron Man. The only real OG Avenger you're looking at is you've got Thor, and even Thor is kind of an exciting, controversial, some people think it's controversial, moving over to including Natalie Portman. We'll get to that in a second, but I mean, Phase 4 is huge. It's massive. You've got The Eternals coming up, Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings, TV series Falcon and Winter Soldier spinoff, WandaVision, Loki. There's a TV series called What If, which is a whole other crazy ball of wax. You've got a Hawkeye TV series. But, of course, in our wheelhouse, sequels, reboots, etc. First film up we heard about officially, finally, even though we know they're shooting it, we know what's happening, we don't know quite what they're doing with it, is Black Widow. A movie I think is long overdue. She's one of the original Avengers as well. And it's kind of tough to talk about these because we don't necessarily know a ton about them. There's no trailers, there's no posters, nothing really official except that we got the logo, we got information that they're shooting it, who's involved, to get some casting information. Because have they even confirmed necessarily that it's a prequel or that it's a, like, how it's going to fit in now that she's dead? Or,
well, I think they said that it takes place after the events of, I can't remember if it was Winter Soldier or Civil War. So it's not too far back, but,
oh, okay.
But obviously before Endgame, and and I think you get your wish that they will touch on what happened in Budapest at some point with some flashbacks.
Yes. Budapest.
But yeah, like you said, this is the only one we actually have some idea of what might be happening in a plot. I think they released some set pictures of some of the other of what they've been shooting, and I think they've confirmed that at least one of the villains, or the villain, is this villain called the Taskmaster. I'm sorry, the Taskmaster, which, if I'm correct, is this comic book villain that's like a master of fighting styles and weapons and stuff like that. So it's possible that he's someone that either she's learning from, or, because remember, Black Widow originally is like a Russian, you know, spy, mercenary, assassin. So a lot of red in her ledger, like she says. She did not start off as a hero.
Okay, so I am reading that they did include some footage of at San Diego Comic-Con. There's a fight scene they included between her and a character named Yelena Belova. But it was just a fight scene between the two of them, and I guess the footage included a lot of past footage from her in Marvel movies like Iron Man and Civil War and stuff like that. So I'm very excited to see it. I loved what Scarlett Johansson did with the character. I loved how it evolved from when you first met her in the Iron Man movies up until her sacrifice in Endgame. I really love what she did with it and what the filmmakers did with it. And so to see this kind of filling in the gaps, not only for the Marvel Universe in general, but for the character, I definitely want to check this movie out. Like I said, I think it's long overdue, and I'm really excited that it's part of this new Phase 4.
Yeah, I think I've mentioned before that it's almost too late. It's like, this is something they should have had, you know, at some point in, like, Phase 3, you know, some point early on, that we could have seen more of Natasha's backstory on the big screen, but yeah, definitely. So that'll be our first taste of the next phase of or whatever they're going to call it, right? They call the first bunch of phases the Infinity Saga, right? So this will be the new Marvel saga for the MCU. Only the MCU could get us to change our format and not talk about one particular movie that we watched. But, you know, these are pretty big bombshells happening at San Diego Comic Con. I was at dinner, actually, like a birthday dinner for my wife, and one of her friends they share the same birth date, and all this stuff was like coming through. I was looking at Twitter, but also putting my phone away because we were in the middle of dinner. It was
There's a lot going on at Comic-Con, man.
What's funny is I didn't even realize it. Like, I knew Comic-Con was going on that weekend, and I was like, and, you know, we had seen Top Gun and all that stuff, and I was like, yeah, I haven't heard any Marvel news. And then I opened Twitter, and I was like, oh my God, it's happening right now.
And suddenly you just got all the news, and huge news, too.
Yeah.
So what else we got in here? So they've been talking about this for a while, and we've seen him be a huge part in the Infinity War and Endgame movies. We finally got an announcement, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. I've not seen the first Doctor Strange. I love him as a character, though. I loved seeing him in Endgame and Infinity War and what they did with him and how he interacted with the other characters. And again, not much to know about it, except right in the title, they've got multiverse mentioned, so it looks like they're leaning in on exploring the fallout from the, you know, all these Infinity Stones snaps happening and kind of breaking the universes apart and introducing us to the multiverse, which I thought they were going to do a little bit more in Spider-Man Far From Home, which, you know, you and I could talk about more further down the road, but it looks like they're really going to kind of lean in and address the multiverse in this new Doctor Strange movie.
Yeah, I mean, he plays, even though he's not on screen much for, you know, Endgame, he plays a huge role in Infinity War, and obviously without him and the other sorcerers, you know, they can't bring, in that epic scene at the end of Endgame, they can't bring all the, you know, people that got snapped back into existence in the armies from around the world, so definitely he deserves. I thought we would get a sequel for Doctor Strange a little bit earlier, but yeah, so we'll get that, I think, May in 2021, so that just seems like such a long time from now, but they did just announce these, so. And I think they said that that Elizabeth Olsen will also be in Doctor Strange, so, you know, kind of the magical, mystical, witchcraft sort of thing. They'll be combining that together, which will be cool.
Yeah, I like what she's done with the character, and I feel like they haven't really given her a ton to do outside of her relationship with Vision, and so I think it'd be really cool to kind of see her on her own again, independently doing something in this movie. So I'm glad that they have her as part of it as well.
Yeah, she gets to double dip. She gets her own TV show on Disney Plus with Vision, which I gotta say, I know that all of these shows have their title is the character's name, but I dislike the name WandaVision very much. Like Loki, Hawkeye, the Falcon, and the Winter Soldier. WandaVision.
Yeah, WandaVision.
This seems like a misstep.
It does sound kind of silly, so I mean, we'll see. You know.
Maybe there's a reason for that, so who knows. Because, I mean, because that's supposed to take place after Endgame, and technically Vision is dead, so I don't know what's going to happen there.
Yeah, I'd like to see what they do with that.
And also just, I mean, since you mentioned them, because we have to mention them, they don't fall into our wheelhouse quite yet with the Eternals and Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, although they did kind of introduce the Ten Rings in the first Iron Man movie and also in Iron Man 3 with the character of the Mandarin, although that was like a fake the Mandarin, because as we saw with the casting here, there's going to be the real Mandarin finally. And they cast Tony Leung, the super huge famous Hong Kong actor for that. Really cool. And Eternals, I mean, that cast.
Oh, Angelina that's crazy. Jolie, the Eternals cast is Salma Hayek,
and Kumail Nanjiani. I know zero about these characters, but that cast is big and well awarded and, you know, stuff like that. And did you see Kumail on stage? He looks jacked already. Like,
yeah, he's already started. It's like the same thing with Paul Rudd when he showed up as Ant-Man. We're like, well, doesn't he have to get... No, he's actually kind of jacked.
Already there.
That's awesome. Speaking of getting jacked, you made a perfect segue there into our next movie. Apparently, the way you get Natalie Portman back into the Marvel Cinematic Universe is you let her be Thor.
What?
That's right. Thor, Love and Thunder. Natalie Portman returning officially to the Marvel Universe, not just as some repurposed footage for Endgame, but she is coming back, and she's not female Thor, she's not acting as Thor. The director has stated definitively she is the mighty Thor. I don't know enough about the comics history of this situation, but certainly a development I didn't expect necessarily. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy is nowhere on the radar in this phase, and so I thought the next time we'd see Thor would have something to do with Guardians 3, but instead, a complete surprise for most people that we're moving on to Thor Love and Thunder with Natalie Portman coming back. I mean, that's incredibly exciting news. You know, she's of course saying she's got to get Jack to be Thor, which I thought was hilarious, and she's a great actress, and you know, kind of turning that whole thing on its head. I mean, they've done so many interesting things with Thor, you know, having him turn into Bro Thor for Endgame and all this other stuff, and really, you know, bringing out some of the humor in him. I know, you know, some people, I think you included, said that Ragnarok was leaning a little too much, but then to have this happen, it's really, I think, keeping it from getting stale, which I think is really cool.
Totally, and you know, you did say it, that I enjoyed Ragnarok as a, you know, standalone movie, but I do take some issue with Thor being so funny, I guess, for lack of a better word, the character. But and I've said it before, that's all because Chris Hemsworth is, quite frankly, an amazing comedic actor. He's got, like, perfect timing.
He really is. It's ridiculous. But
yeah, I think it was only just the previous week before Comic-Con that they officially announced that Taika Waititi was going to return to write and direct the next Thor movie, which was already big news because we weren't even sure what we were getting. Were we going to get As Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever in the future? But who knows? And like you said, the Guardians of the Galaxy movies are kind of got upended for a little while back there, but now that they're back on track, they're still pushed back from this next phase. But yeah, I mean, and we talked about this a bit in the Endgame episode, that we thought Natalie Portman was done with Marvel movies because all the shit that happened in Thor 2, and then, you know, we saw her at the premiere, and then, you know, she kind of just reread some stuff and used old footage. But man, they were prepping to bring her back for something big, and it will be big. I don't know the comic story, but I've read that it's a pretty well received, you know, take for a period of time where Jane becomes Thor. Very exciting. See that on the big screen.
Yeah, it should be cool. I think another, I guess the last bit of really surprising news that I don't think, you know, with all the speculation going on around out there with what they might be doing in this next phase, I don't think anyone necessarily expected them to not only announce that they're doing a Blade reboot, but that they've already cast Mahershala Ali as Blade and, you know, brought him up on stage and people went nuts. And of course it caused a little bit of controversy with people angry that Wesley Snipes wasn't in it, but Wesley Snipes apparently is tweeted out his blessing and, you know, said it's a different thing or whatever. And so that really came out of nowhere. I mean, people, they were talking about the Eternals, they were talking about what they might do with Thor, even though it still surprises what they were doing. But I mean, Blade was completely out of nowhere.
Totally. I mean, Kevin Feige was like, you know, they were almost closing out the panel, and it's like, oh, you know, we got one more thing. And then he didn't even say what it was, and then Mahershala Ali walks on stage, and you know, what the hell did, what the, you know, who's he going to be? What's he, what movie he's going to be in? And then I think he put on the hat, and then they threw up the logo on the big screen, and that was it. They just cut, they ended the damn panel. Yeah, super excited. Blade, what was that, 98, I believe, you know, like you said, Wesley Snipes, like one of the first actual Marvel movies that did quite well, and it was also relatively critically, you know, acclaimed, maybe is the wrong word, but liked, and I certainly enjoyed it. They did three of those, the third one, you know, not so enjoyable, but very cool.
I thought the first one was phenomenal. Yeah, I love what they did with it, and I thought Wesley Snipes was great, and I thought the, you know, for its time, I mean, it was crazy. You just, you know, it's got this gory comic book adaptation that wasn't necessarily the type of thing you were used to seeing, but I think they're going to do a really good job, you know, I mean, seeing what they do, introducing it into the MCU is going to be, I mean, this whole slate is just so weird and so interesting that it's risky, which is very exciting. Like, I think that this is not a safe slate of movies. Like, they're not throwing out these guarantees. I mean, it's almost like you felt like when they first started with Ant-Man.
Right.
You're just like, really? Ant-Man? Who the hell is Ant-Man?
But they make it work.
Yeah, so it's crazy. Like, it's crazy. Even the movies that are weaker than the others are still good. And so it's just, it's very exciting news, very out of the blue. And, you know, I definitely think that, I mean, I think Top Gun was one of the biggest reveals at Comic-Con. But I really think that after having sat out, I don't think they were at Comic-Con last year. I think after having sat out to come up with this massive announcement and done so well, it's very classy. It was very built just the right amount of enthusiasm and emotion, and it was just, yeah, I think Marvel won Comic-Con, man.
Definitely. And there wasn't even, other than TV, I think there wasn't DC to be seen at all, so.
Nope.
Very cool. And I love that they, apparently Mahershala, after he won his second Oscar, earlier this year, said he wanted to have a meeting with Marvel and that he's the one that pitched them redoing Blade and he wanted to star as Blade. And I guess Feige said that they were actually, you know, obviously thinking about this and that he was one of the names, obviously. Why wouldn't you try to consider for Blade? And they were like, done.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you.
That's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. I heard about that too.
Talk about just taking your shot. I mean, amazing. And that'll lead us to our final segment today, which we call the Reboot Wish List, where we put forth an idea for what reboot or sequel that we think we would like to see in the future. So, Matt, what do you got for us today?
Well, I'm all jazzed up about horror right now. I saw this new It trailer, and there's a lot going on in the world of horror. It's pretty exciting. Halloween. Yeah, there's apparently this lawsuit going on where poor Jason Voorhees is enmeshed in this crazy situation, so the new Friday the 13th sequel they talked about for a few years is stalled out, and I want to move over to one of my favorite horror icons of all time. I really want another Nightmare on Elm Street movie, and I think it's been long enough between the last reboot, which I thought was pretty crappy, and it's you know, you've got this great resurgence in horror. There's a lot of really cool stylistic directors out there. And I think that there's an interest in making a good quality horror movie and not just something schlocky. And we saw it with the new Halloween. We've seen it with the recent Stephen King adaptations. Like, I think that the people that are working out there in horror really could bring a fresh voice and something interesting to the character and to that world. And I've just been thinking about it a lot with the stuff we've been seeing. You know, Child's Play, same thing. I'd love to see them finally do right by Freddy Krueger and give us a good Nightmare on Elm Street movie again.
That sounds good to me. I probably haven't seen very many past the first, you know, two or three, you know, those classic ones. But I'd totally be. Has Robert Englund, has he been the only one to play Freddy on the big screen?
He played him in, like, the first iteration of the movies, one through five, and then they did one called Freddy's Dead, which was a six, and so the New Nightmare, seven. So there was seven original movies with Robert Englund, and then when they did the reboot a few years back, it was Jackie Earle Haley.
Oh, that's right.
Which I thought was an inspired choice. I thought he was a fantastic choice for it, and if it wasn't going to be Robert Englund, I thought that was a great way to go, but then I saw it, and I don't know if it was the directing or if it was his choices, but it was not a good interpretation of Freddy Krueger for what they were trying to do. And so if it was one of those things, kind of like, you know, George Clooney in Batman, like I think that if he had been directed correctly, he could have been a fantastic Batman and Bruce Wayne. And I think the same situation for Jackie Earle Haley. I would give him another shot as Freddy Krueger, but he'd have to do something different. It was a tough movie to make it through as a horror fan, as a Freddy Krueger fan. And so, yeah, so Robert Englund for the first seven, excuse me, and Jackie Earle Haley for the reboot. And I don't even know. I can't even speculate as to who I'd even want to play Freddy Krueger in a new one. Maybe somebody we've never even heard of before. But
yeah,
I think that it's time. I think there's been enough time to kind of distance themselves from the crappy reboot and give us something new.
Cool. I'd totally be down for that.
What is on your reboot wish list, my friend?
I have something a little it goes against what I've normally been doing. This is a very recent movie, actually. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
But I think
this is an episode packed full of surprises here.
And it's something that we've talked about recently and that we will do in a future episode. I would like to see a reboot, but a live action reboot of Into the Spider-Verse. That's right. So I just...
That's like super recent. Jesus Christ.
I know. But it'll be a few years before they could pull that off. And so I watched that for the first time last night. And I've been putting it off. And like I've told you, and I tell everyone else who tells me that it's an awesome movie, the hype has just been so insane about it that I either wanted to hate it or was really worried that it is awesome, but I won't see it. You know, kind of like that. Like I won't think it's as awesome. And I do actually think it's amazing, but since the hype was so high, I still think it falls into slight overrated. That's the wrong word, but I truly, truly did enjoy it. And I would love to see, like, they even kind of play with that a little bit in this movie, but I would love to see Tobey Maguire come back. I would even love to see, what's his face from The Amazing Spider-Man's,
oh, Andrew Garfield?
Yeah, they could totally play with all of that in the same way. I mean, the story was fantastic. All this stuff, obviously, animation was fantastic. They can't do quite like that on the live action. I've enjoyed the music, the soundtrack. That was all cool. Mahershala Ali was the Prowler,
That's right, yep.
The uncle. But yeah, so that's it. And obviously, they should bring Nicolas Cage for some role.
I'd watch him in anything, and I know you would,
absolutely,
too.
So that's it. That goes against what I normally would pick for a reboot, but since it's I want to give it the Disney live action treatment and say that's the reboot they should go in and do.
A bold choice, but I'm certainly guilty of overhyping that movie when we were talking about it, and so I think that the idea of, I mean, it would blow people's minds if they brought together the three current Spider-Men and maybe casting a Miles and I think you're a little crazy, but I think it's just crazy enough it just might work.
I think so. Because I'll admit I enjoyed it way more than I had thought or hoped I would. You and I were one of the last few people in our group of friends to see it while everyone else was hyping it to huge heights. So
that's true. I only saw it a couple weeks ago. You're right.
But it is quite fantastic. So that's my choice this show.
All right. That's it for this episode of Movies Never Say Die. Make sure you subscribe so you do not miss a single episode. We'd also appreciate it if you take a moment to leave us a review on your preferred podcasting app. It does help us reach new listeners. Also, if you want to get in touch with us for any reason, we'd love some feedback. You can make a suggestion for a movie reboot, sequel, or franchise for us to take a look at on a future episode. You can email us at moviesneversaydie@gmail.com. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at moviesneversaydie. And of course, hit us up on Twitter at moviesnvrsaydie. I'm Matthew Grant.
And I'm Justin St. Ange. Thanks for listening.
I mean, if you see a cool-looking guy, strike up a conversation and ask him on a mandate.
A what?
A mandate.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
No.
By that, I mean casual lunch or after-work drinks, okay? No dinner and no movies. You're not taking these boys to see The Devil Wears Prada.
Oh, God, I love that movie.
I'm Batman.
I freeze. I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
I'm Batman-ing.
I never had to say I'm Batman. I showed up. People knew I was Batman.
You like movies?
Hundreds of movies.
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 Movies. Movies.
Never say die!